Back in 2001, singer-songwriter India Arie's debut album, Acoustic Soul, hit the airwaves and quickly went multi-platinum. We're sampling from the first song on that album right now. It's called Video, and it deals with acceptance and a young African-American woman learning to love herself for who she is inside. She sings, "I'm not the average girl from your video, and I ain't built like a supermodel, but I learned to love myself unconditionally because I am a queen." Fourteen years ago, hearing those words sung for the first time on the radio in my car ended up in a rare driveway moment for me. Determined to buy the album, I ripped open the glove compartment, rooted around for a pencil, and quickly jotted down the name of the song and artist. Fast forward to 2014, and India Arie's music continues to speak powerfully to the interconnectedness of us all. In addition to being a multiple Grammy Award winner, India is an NAACP Image Award honoree. She's performed for presidents and at Nobel Peace Prize ceremonies. India Arie also stands with her peers as an activist for global health and human dignity. Next Friday, August 8th, India Arie will be taking part in a Global Meditation for Peace Toronto. The event takes place in Western Harbor Castle beginning at 11:30 and culminates on September 21st. She'll be joined by Deepak Chopra and Gabrielle Bernstein with hopes of initiating a global narrative for peace and healing. In 2012, India Arie performed a sold-out concert on the North Carolina A&T State University campus in Greensboro. Prior to her arrival in the Triad for that performance, she spoke with me by phone from her home in Atlanta. How have you changed as a performer in the past 10 years? And maybe just start there.
That's loaded for me because music for me is a spiritual work. And it truly, truly is. I pray for songs. I pray for song titles, song concepts. I pray for melodies. I pray intention into my songs. If I'm writing something for someone else, I pray that God will show me what they want to say in the best, like, concise, most possible way. I pray that my music will touch people. Like, I literally pray this as I'm writing. And as I'm singing, I pray before I go on stage. Sometimes I pray on stage. Like, it just comes out sometimes. But I used to try to hide that. I used to try to hide it because I felt like, you know, like I would be somehow telling people too much. And I didn't want to be cutting myself off from middle America or the masses or whatever people like. Like, I didn't want to be too esoteric or spiritual or religious or whatever.
Sure.
And over the year, like, I was 25 when Video came out, and now I'm in my mid-30s, so I've grown a lot as a person. I've grown a lot in my spirituality. I've been around the world. I've had conversations with all kinds of people. I think I've talked to all of my living heroes, Alice Walker, Maya Angelou, Oprah, Stevie Wonder. Like, I've been able to talk to them about real things. And so I've learned what it means to just be yourself and the power in it. So I said all that to say that as a performer, I don't hide anything. I don't hide anything. I tell people how I feel when I get on stage. I tell a lot about my personal life. I tell what the songs are about more than I ever did. And I also am more expressive with my body, too, because that's been a challenge through my life. Like, my physical expression surrounding, like, just my womanhood and all of that has been a challenge all my life. So in the past 3 years, I've been dancing, which is something I never thought I would do. I never thought I would do it in front of anyone. And now I dance so hard at my show that I have to change my dress. In the middle of the show, I change my clothes. Little girl with the pressing curl, age 8, I got a Jerry curl, 13 and I got a relaxer, I was the source of so much laughter, 15 when it all...
Listening to you sing, I'm just floored by, I guess the tune I just heard before I came on was I'm Not My Hair. It was a live performance you did. Just amazing intonation. Did you ever have to work through that, or is that just something that you had starting off? I know this is the technical aspect of performing, but what all has gone into that and how has that evolved over the last decade?
Thank you. I'm going to say the same thing I kind of just said. I feel like it's both spiritual and emotional and technical, but you did ask about the technical side, but I feel like part of it, like for me, the voice is the most organic instrument because you sound the way you sound. I call singing the instrument of the heart because you know where people are emotionally when you hear their voice.
Mm.
I do. And I've heard Stevie Wonder be able to, like, pinpoint things in people, like their astrological sign or what they're dealing with, like, by hearing their voice. I've seen them do it, and I think it's amazing. There's that part. Like, music is in my blood. The way that my voice sounds, and this, you know, I got it from my mom, and she got it from her mom. Mm. And, like, I have generations of people in my family who sing. So I have it that way. I learned how to memorize the days of the week from a song that my mother wrote. So I've been singing all my life, so I got it really honest. Then on the technical side, I never took voice lessons until very, very recently. But my mother's a singer, like I said, and I always heard her sing, so I guess I knew I had that neurological pathway, mind-body connection that singers get, and be able to make a note with your physical apparatus, be able to make notes you hear. So I got that from my mom just from singing forever. But then also, technically, and it's not just me, like every singer I know always sings. Like you washing the dishes or you're walking around the house and you hear a noise or you hear somebody do something and you try to duplicate the noise of the door, or whatever, or you hear somebody sing something and you got to sing it like them to see if you can do it. But singers always sing, and you start to train yourself over the years. Right now, I just started taking vocal lessons because I learned that I was doing some things wrong, and also because I met a singer who has a deep voice like mine, and she could belt way, way high, and I was like, if she can do that, I can do that. So I started taking voice lessons to figure out what that is, and I slowly am getting it. Like, it clicked in one day when I was crying, and I was like, I didn't wear my voice out, so what was I doing?
What were you doing right with your diaphragm or whatever?
Yeah, and I figured it out. So I Am Not My Hair, the Testimony Volume 1 and Testimony Volume 2 are like these companion pieces, and there was a 3-year break between my first two albums. Acoustic Soul and Voyage to India were back-to-back. There was a 3-year break, and then there was Testimony Volume 1 and 2. So with Testimony Volume 1 and 2, I was in that process of learning to use my voice another way. And a lot of the belting and stuff that you hear on I Am Not My Hair was new to me. Like, I couldn't do it before that. So thank you for noticing.
Shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin.
Do you feel like a certain power through that vulnerability? I mean, power in the best sense and an empowering sense?
Yes. There's nothing more empowering than when you have nothing to hide. When you're trying to hide a bunch of stuff and you got a bunch of like little issues and stuff like that, it constricts you. You can express just a certain way. When I don't feel like I have a bunch of stuff to hide, I allow myself to be in the flow of the moment, and whatever comes out just comes out. It is empowering in the most honest sense of the word.
I'm just wondering how that might translate into the way you phrase something or how you project or your interaction with the audience or any number of things. That I'm not a singer-songwriter, but I would imagine that does give you freedom to do something improvisational or something new.
Well, I mean, there is that too, like the improvisational nature of singing. I'm going to try to say this as simple as I can because I've never said this before, but it is coming to mind right now. Mm-hmm. I went to Turkey, and I got to hang out with Turkey's biggest star. Her name is Sezen Aksu, and she recorded on my last album. We did a song together called The Cure. When I was there, she taught me the basics, like the basic understanding of how music is expressed over in Turkey or like in Indian culture. I don't know, maybe Middle Eastern culture as well. And it's like we have intervals, like whole note, half note, whole note, half note. In Turkish music and a lot of Middle Eastern countries, there's 9 tones between each note.
That's right. The notes in between the cracks of the black and white keys in the piano, those microtones.
Right. So all that sliding and stuff. And when you think of being improvisational as a singer, there's so much in between the notes that you would never try to sing if you were afraid what people were going to say.
Mm.
Not just microtones, but there is that when you think of black music and the way that black singers slide stuff, like we slide and move. There's that too, but then there's also that other stuff, like the backstory, the emotional backstory that is the notes in between the notes of your story. And like there's all of that. But then also something that you would have never known to ask me, and what is also going to come up when we do this show in North Carolina, is that I, in the past 2 years, went through a very intense and profound spiritual shift where my life got to the point where I didn't like the way it looked so much that I stopped doing everything that I was doing and started doing all new things that included the people that I worked with, where I lived, how I approached my music. I actually thought I was going to retire, and I was looking at schools. I was going to go to school for philosophy and creative writing, and I had narrowed it down to 5 schools. I was going to quit because I didn't like how it felt doing things in the music industry. I liked being a musician, but I didn't like the music industry. So through a lot of prayer and meditation, I realized that there was a difference between the music and the music industry, and I made a promise to myself that I was going to make the music that I want to make.
This is Hawa Hazel.
So what came out of that is that I am expressing myself lyrically in a way that I never had before. Like, I would try to hide the spirituality inside of the music, and now I just say things like very straightforward. A lot of what the kids are going to hear at North Carolina A&T is my new album, Open Door. And I composed all of it with the artist from Israel named Idan Reichel. And so I sing in Hebrew, which I never thought I would ever sing in Hebrew. I always thought maybe Spanish or French, but never Hebrew. So
that's an expressive language.
It is very expressive. And I love the way that it fills all of my creative desires and my mental, like the mental puzzle of it. Like, all of it together is so fun. The songs that are in English are written around classical Jewish melodies, so that's fun too, with English lyrics. So there's a song on Open Door called The One that is about the interconnectedness of all people and all things. I would never even say anything like that out of my mouth in an interview or in a song or anything, because I'd be afraid that I would somehow incur people's judgment in a way I didn't like. But now I sing this song. It's the song that we open the show with. And I say, this entire show tonight is about the oneness and the interconnectedness of all people and all things. Can you imagine that you're more connected to the person you're sitting next to than you thought?
We all want the same things from life. We want peace, love, and pride.
My thanks to India Ari. She spoke with me by phone from her home in Atlanta. Her concert on the North Carolina A&T State University campus in Greensboro on April 25th, 2012, was a standing room only event. And in keeping with India's generous spirit, the opening acts for her show were performed by a group of talented A&T student dancers, singers, and actors. India Ari continues to stretch herself personally and artistically, and her musical growth can be heard in her release, Open Door. It's a collaboration with Israeli singer-songwriter Idan Reichel. India's 2013 release is Songversation on the Motown label, and you'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Next Friday, August 8th, India will be taking part in a global meditation for peace in Toronto. The event takes place in Western Harbor Castle beginning at 11:30 and culminates on September 21st. She'll be joined by Deepak Chopra and Gabrielle Bernstein with hopes of initiating a global narrative for peace and healing. Along the way, they'll also be breaking the Guinness World Record for the largest group meditation in history.